glasses.
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Gordon Hayward has said that he would be okay with a role change or coming off the bench. Have you considered either of those things for him?
Considered it for everybody. You know, I think that, but I don't think right now it's as much about our rotations. It's about everybody getting a little bit better. I do think there are times of the game where certain guys need to be in together, and maybe there's some combinations that we can have on the bench while others are in the game. And those are things that we're learning about this group. The starting unit has been interesting because it struggled out of the gate in a couple of games, and then it was dynamite out of the gate in a couple of games. Just need some consistency. And so whether that is changing something in the starting lineup, Gordon, or otherwise, you know, you consider all of those things. But right now, as I told our guys at halftime of the Portland game, you know, one of the things that is our struggle is it's hard to tell what adjustments we need to make until we play the right way. And you can see when we're really urgent that we're playing the right way, we're pretty good. We just need to increase our urgency. That's kind of the bottom line of it. And then we'll figure out, you know, what our rotations need to be. But obviously, you're always thinking about those changes. And inevitably, as you get into the playoffs in the NBA, you're going to make those changes anyways.
Yeah.
And so everybody's got to be on their toes, no matter who you are.
All right, Brad Stevens with Beadle and Zoll this afternoon. Listen to the full replay at 98.5thesportshub.com or the app, 98.5thesportshub app. Also want to let you know we have the Felger and Maz off-air show tonight. Okay? Felger and Maz off-air show, Facebook Live at 6:05. Myself, Big Jim Murray, is going to come by.
I'm in.
All right, Maz. Maz is in. Fully loaded Felger and Maz post-game show, off-air show, 6:05 on Facebook Live. And I've been told, help me with this,
Twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv. What's Stitch? Stitch is something too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like
Stitcher is an audio service.
It's a podcast.
So it's not Stitcher. It's Twitch.
Twitch.
Whatever the F that is, okay, you kids probably know. We're going to be on Twitch.
Twitch.tv. It's the 98.5 The Sports Hub page.
We have a page or channel?
Channel.
We have a channel on Stitch.tv. So you
Twitch.
Can, I'm sorry. Twitch.tv. So suck on that. Taking over the world. We're now on Twitch TV, whatever that is.
And you can search for it by typing in The Sports Hub, all one word.
The Sports Hub on Twitch.
Twitch.
Twitch.tv.
For you old timers, Facebook Live as well is still having it. For you real old timers, we broadcast on 98.5 on the FM dial. That's called terrestrial radio, kids. The big antennas. Did you listen to us now in your car? Simulcast across New England and the country 24/7 on something called the television, NBCSportsBoston.com. Off-air show 6:05 tonight on Facebook Live and
Twitch. Simulcast across the globe.
How do you feel about Brad Stevens not changing up his rotations tonight?
I don't love it. I told you, I've come to the conclusion that to me now, the thing that should happen is that Hayward, Tatum, and Irving should not be on the floor together until like the last 5 minutes of the game against a good team. That's about it. Those three guys all want to have the ball, all three of them, or they need to have the ball to have all of their abilities at your disposal. So to me, I don't see how that works with three guys. Two can work, three can't. That's just too many, and it's not working now. So I understand Stevens' logic when he makes a comment like he does, which is we got to figure it out and make it work because there are going to be times that we need it. I get that. But until they get to two, I'll worry about three later. Put two guys on the floor, let them figure it out, and then add in the third later on. That's what I would do.
I'm a little annoyed by it, but if there's a silver lining, it shows they're not panicking. You know, if they were panicking, then I think you would see changes even tonight against a bad Bulls team. So that's one good thing, but I don't know. Right now, Gordon Hayward, I mean, he's now gone on record and said he's open to going to the bench. So why not do that? And I think playing Hayward right now in limited minutes as he's coming back from the injury with Rozier specifically would free up Rozier where he's at his best as a scorer playing off the ball. And he's not that much of a facilitator, so put bench and see how that looks. But it doesn't sound like anything's going to change tonight.
Okay, and my frustration, my take earlier, I'll just say it, is I fear they're waiting for the analytics to come in, that they want to build up a sample so the nerds can go over it and find the best court combinations, because that's really what it's all about. That is,
I hate the thought of that.
Taking over basketball as much as anything. The nerds have infiltrated the NBA as much as any sport there is. and they look at all of it. Points per 100 possessions, points per 36 minutes. This is all the combinations on the floor. What does this three-man combo do? What does that four-man combo do? What does that five-man unit do? And so when Brad says we're still trying to figure out the rotations, I think that means they're waiting to expand the sample size so the nerds can fully dig in and find out what combinations they want to run, which, again, makes me want to puke. Gordon Hayward right now is not a starting quality basketball player, in my opinion, on a good team. If he's on a sucky team, fine. Right now on this team, he's not their fifth best player. I just, simple as that. Never mind, he's a certain kind of player, and I think they'd benefit from the defense of Marcus Smart or the size of Aaron Baines or someone like that, just in a mixed standpoint. But I think they're all waiting on the analytics. So let's see what the nerds have to say.
And then, oh, I hope that's not it.
And then, you know it is. You know that's it. You know that's part of it. Of course that's part of it. So there's your Celtics reset. We'll get back to your calls here as promised. Oh, there's actually people who want Carmelo Anthony on this team, Maz. Do you know that?
Oh, God.
Dean in Shrewsbury, you want Carmelo?
Yeah, we should sign him, put him at the end of the bench, and if anyone is particularly sucking, put Melo in for them so they realize they suck more than Melo now.
Okay, well, that's sort of not a serious take. John on the South Shore, you want Carmelo?
Yeah, that guy had a terrible take. First of all, thank God I have unlimited minutes here. So what I have is, I think you guys are missing a real big part. This guy's a winner, okay? You go back, he has four medals. Three are gold.
Medals.
Okay? Do you guys know what happened in April 7, 2003? NCAA National Championship, 20 points. All right? I don't understand why we're forgetting about this.
Are you serious?
Hey, John, can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Where'd you go to college?
Merrimack College.
Okay. I'm sure you were going to say Syracuse. I'm sure you were going to say
Syracuse. No, listen. And
you're not serious either. You're being a clown. You're
John,
not serious.
Seriously, you can't be serious about...
Can I give my point or no? Can I give my point or no?
One more.
Yeah, so listen. We celebrate hockey players. Look what the celebration of the 1980 Olympic team is insane. He has four medals, and we give him no credit.
I never told them to go and sign Jim Craig, even though I think they did. Didn't Craig get a cup of coffee with the Bruins?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't sit here and say, let's go sign him. He can play because he won the gold medal.
The other thing is, you know,
you're freaking nuts.
You know why the 1980 Olympic medal mattered?
Because they sucked. Because
it was an upset.
I don't mean they sucked. I mean, that's, you know, you knew what I mean. They weren't supposed to win the thing.
Because it was an upset. You know why Carmelo's four golds don't matter? Because they were favored.
So how could you give any American basketball player credit for any Team USA victory internationally ever, anything, forever? Anything?
You can't.
That's a joke.
Right. The most memorable U.S. Olympic basketball team was the one that lost to the Russians in 72.
And his performance in that title they won, you know, back 2001, whatever the hell it was. I mean, we're talking about 20 years ago, basically. Like, you really are still holding that as one of the high attributes about Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career.
That guy wasn't serious.
I just wanted to get the Carmelo calls off the board. They had infected the board like a fungus. Christian in Foxborough, what's your Celtics thought?
Hey, what's up? So he said that guy's take was bad. I mean, I think his was worse. But real quick, number one, I hate the nerds in basketball and baseball. But on the Celts, I think we got to give it till Christmas. And if they keep playing 500 ball the way they are, they definitely got to make some changes. And lastly, on Tatum, I mean, Maz, I agree. This guy has had way too many sleepovers with Kobe. I mean, he takes way too many contested shots. You know, granted, he makes some. I mean, he doesn't give all effort. You know, he doesn't get back on D. And lastly, I know all players do this, but Tatum, he is the worst at bitching, moaning, crying, complaining whenever he thinks he deserves or doesn't get a call.
Oh.
Bro, you're not Kobe. Play defense, give effort, play team basketball, and maybe you'll get some calls. Thanks,
you're
guys.
Not LeBron. Oh, he does. Tatum actually has the same hand gestures as LeBron after he's under the rim and doesn't get a fall. It's the... Huh? Oh, my God. It's the same. He has the same mannerism as LeBron. Dude, it's your second year. You haven't done anything yet. You carry on like that.
Oh, God. Seriously, and I love Tatum. I've loved him since the second he came into the league. But this year, he feels like a different guy to me. So I just pulled up some of the numbers to look in front of me. His shots are up, but the percentages are down. So he's become less efficient. Are the Celtics nerds listening? Are they listening to me? Less efficient. Less. A guy who makes a smaller percentage of his shots should be shooting less, not more. Tatum is shooting too much.
Here's another guy who's been waiting forever. Earlier we hit on pace of play in baseball. Owners' meetings are going on this year, and the consensus is that the pitch clock will be implemented. There will be a pitch clock next year, except because Manfred wants the players to agree to it, he's going to put the pitch clock at a limit that is not going to speed anything up. In other words, he has the right to put in a 20-second pitch clock, which is in the minor leagues. The feeling now is that he's going to go to a 30-second pitch clock because the players will agree to it. He doesn't want to unilaterally force something down the player's throat. He wants them to agree to it and have a compromise. So he's going to 30-second pitch clock out there. The slowest pitchers in Major League Baseball take 27 pitches, 27 seconds on average between pitches. Okay, David Price is one of the slowest pitchers in Major League Baseball. His time between pitches is 26.9. So the 30-second pitch clock will do nothing to slow these pitchers down. It'll just put the clock on the field. Your thoughts on that? Nick in Dartmouth. Go ahead, Nick. Are you still there?
Hey, guys. If you're talking about trying to speed up baseball and you're worried about the extra innings, how about doing what we do in our men's league that we play locally in our softball league? Go to a one pitch. You start with a full count. If it's a ball, you walk. If it's a foul ball, you're out. If you get a hit, it makes it so that guys are just on base. It turns an hour game for us into about 25 minutes.
Love it.
Also, you're talking about falling off. The biggest thing that's changed from all the other past championships, 04, 07.
Nick, I can't listen to you in your bathroom anymore. I'm sorry. He's calling us from the toilet or the bathtub. I said, God. Put it to your, hold it like a pizza, right up to your mouth, right like this, okay?
He's cleaning the bottom of his swimming pool.
Jeez. God.
Seriously, though.
All that trickeration and extra innings, I'm for. Give me any trick you want that speeds the game up. And I'm just being consistent. I love the shootout in hockey. I love it. And that's not even that tricky. It's just kicks. It's shots. It's they do it in other sports. It's not that big of a trick. I love the shootout. It's quick. It's exciting. And we get the hell out of there. Chicks stand up. Everyone digs the shootout. Give me something like that in baseball, and I'll take any funky idea you want to give me, no problem.
So I'm all in. I you know they won't go to one pitch, but I told you put runners on base, load them up, load up the bases, let the pitcher go, and tell them you're not going to sacrifice anything on your ERA. Anyone that you don't allow on base doesn't count against your ERA. Just go out and win the game, which last time I checked was supposed to be the objective.
Okay, in Major League Baseball, World Series ratings were down 25% in the World Series, not nationally, locally. I mean both. Nationally and locally, 20 to 25%. Billy in Rhode Island, I think, wanted to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Billy.
I'm still laughing about the guy in the bathroom. That was a good one. My take on baseball, I got one for you. You said you'll take anything? Well, here's my idea. At the seventh inning, have three targets pop up, one on the left, center, and right. Whoever hits it wins the game.
I'm in. I'm in, Billy. I'm not joking. As opposed to sitting there till 2:30 in the morning for them to figure this out, give the left fielder a baseball, take out one of the scoring panels there in the Green Monster, and whoever can put it in the hole first wins, or closest to, I don't care. Let's get the hell out of here, or call the tie. Because, well, I don't need to keep going on about this. You play 162, then another 19 in the postseason. They all take 3+. There is more, ample time already for you to figure out who the best team is. You do not need to play into the 14th inning on May 14th to figure out who the best team is. You've already got enough time, so just end the thing. Blessedly, please.
Well, the good news is that Manfred now has been the commissioner for a number of years, and nothing has changed! Nothing! Nothing has changed! Zero! Absolute zip. Typically, baseball moving at a glacial pace. Glacial in everything. In fixing in its own game, in its offseason, and its play on the field. Glacial. It takes forever. All the time. All the time.
Meanwhile, Maz has another Stevens cut from today on Beatle that stood out to him. Stood out to him and says something to him. What is it? We'll get to it right after these words.
This is Felger and Maz.
On 98.5.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you're coaching a team, the sooner you can get to just to not having to figure out rotations as much and not having to figure out who plays best together and how things fit and all those things, and you just start coaching basketball, and you're coaching the technical parts of the game, that's when you can really roll.
So that's a little piece Maz wanted to hit on. What about it?
So there's something I take out of that comment, and that is that in the world of coaching, I often look at it as there are two types of coaches. There are the motivators, and there are the teachers. Like, and the second of which tends to be a little bit more tactical, a little bit more, like, I would put Bill Belichick more in the second category than the first. He's a teacher. Belichick understands the finer points of everything and wants to teach it. Just shut up and listen to me and we'll win. And I think Stevens is the latter. I think Stevens wants to be a teacher. And this, to me, speaks to the problem with the Celtics right now, which is, you know, I've called it an absence of leadership here, in that Kyrie Irving comes out and says, we need a 15-year vet. Because Kyrie doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to be the motivator. And you know what? Neither does Stevens. And I think he basically admits it there. That when he says, my experience is, once you get past the rotations and figure out who plays with who, and once you get past the human petty stuff, then we can actually focus on the basketball, which is the stuff I'm good at. Stevens was a butler. He was a teacher. That's what he was. He's a college coach at heart. He's one of these. He doesn't want to deal with all the stupidity that goes along with give me the ball. He just wants a bunch of kids to stand there and say, listen, this is how you execute it. You pass to this guy. You pass to that guy. This will be open. And so this is, to me, this is where the challenge is with Stevens now. Stevens has never been put in a position where he's got to push buttons like this and tap into a guy's psyche and his emotion and his ego and all of that. He wants to just teach the game. That's what he wants to do. So I just think that this is, a lot of this falls on the coach now and being in an area that he's never been in either. He's got to deal with egos and shots that he's never had to deal with before. We're going to find out if he can handle it. Like, I think in a lot of ways, Stevens' career up until now has, I don't want to say a cakewalk, because that's not fair to him. It suggests that, you know, he hasn't had to encounter anything, but he's been able to sort of...
Well, this is a different set of challenges.
Totally.
Sure.
Totally different. The X's and O's and the play, you know, the teaching, he can do that.
And he had a group that would, you know, there was a group of guys that were just... We're given such an opportunity that they would take it.
They were willing.
Now he's dealing with a whole different kettle of fish.
So I don't know that when he says that the good stuff comes later when you can get to the tactical stuff, it just struck me as he doesn't want to deal with that other crap. And now for the first time, he's got to deal with it. And honestly, I think he can do it.
Well, welcome to the NBA.
Yeah, I have faith that he can do it. I think he can because he doesn't have a huge ego and that'll help him. But the reality is, who knows? We don't know. He's never done it before.
All right. We continue with those thoughts and others. We've got Dante in Rhode Island on the Celts. Yes, Dante.
What's up, guys? Quick tangent before I go on about my point about the veterans. They need to humble themselves real bad because they just think they're all that in a bag of chips. They need to actually calm down. Jason Tatum needs to stop shooting all these absurd shots, pull-ups from three. And I think that Brad Stevens is completely capable of doing that. Two people I think that they can bring in. I want to get your opinions on them. One of them is being Vince Carter from the Atlanta Hawks right now.
Again, the Vince Carter.
Second worst in the Eastern Conference, you know, right down there with...
Who's your second name, Dante?
Cavaliers.
Dante, who's
and
your
then second name? The second name is Jamal Crawford from Phoenix.
Okay. Was Jamal Crawford here before?
Was that Jamal Crawford? That was Jordan Crawford.
Jordan Crawford. Okay.
Jamal's a gunner.
And I know you keep turning your nose up at Carter. Look, I'm not going to pretend I know what he's doing with the Hawks. He was actually pretty good.
They don't need to add. They need to subtract. What are we adding for?
I'm just saying, if they need a veteran presence, because that's been thrown out there by Kyrie Irving. He's 41 or whatever the hell he is. He was pretty decent for Sacramento a couple of years ago.
Can I get a veteran presence that's won something, that knows what it takes to go through the ringer and then go to the like, has Vince Carter even been to a finals?
I don't think so.
It's like... So that's the kind of guy I would take, but I don't think they need more. They need less.
Yeah, I don't want either one of those guys. And look, I love Jamal Crawford. I mean, to me, he's a great guy to bring off the bench, second unit, and give you a ton of scoring. I've always loved that guy. He's a little longer in the tooth now. He's not the same player he used to be, but he's not what they need. They got guys who can score. They got that. What they need is somebody who's going to take the team over and actually keep everybody in line. I'd prefer it be Kyrie.
Of course. It's his team. He should assume that responsibility. Mike and Woburn on Pace of Play. Hi, Mike.
Very simple answer. Call the strike zone. Call the actual strike zone. You know how you actually call the strike zone?
High pitch.
What?
Look, I called above the belt.
Yeah, or get rid of the stupid divas that are calling the game now and bring on the robots. Have you seen a tennis game?
Sure.
They basically, the line judge now has no job. All the calls are made by computer. You can put a freaking lifeguard in that chair and you have a tennis match. It's all set. Why don't they do this with baseball? As soon as you call the strike zone, we can see at home the strike zone better than the guy standing behind the plate getting paid $400K a year.
Mike, does everything with you go back to officiating in every sport?
No, it doesn't.
It feels that way.
Baseball, it's the most obvious. It's the most obvious. Every guy has a different strike zone, dating back to the days when Eric Gregg was using a yardstick to give freaking Greg Maddux the outside corner of the plate. Like, it speeds up the game because you know what? There's no more money ball get on base stuff if they call the top of the strike zone. It's gone. Now you have to get up and swing at a good pitch.
Okay, man, Mike, I'm going to cut you off. To me, it's about the top of the strike zone. The corners, I think the umpires are actually pretty good at.
Mm-hmm.
The more we get to see that above angle and the, you know, the Mika pitch zone and the little square that Fox puts up, like, they're pretty good on the corners.
Yeah, every once in a while you'll get a guy who misses.
But
right? But most of the time they're pretty good on the sides.
I feel like they're 90%, you know, on the sides. The high pitch and the low pitch is really subjective. Every guy is different, and it's true. So does more strike calls get a quicker game? If so, I'll take it.
Sure. Yeah, look, but again, I don't think that's the biggest problem. I feel like they're calling high strikes now more than they have in a long time.
It's the pitcher holding the ball. It's the pitcher holding the ball, and then them trying to get at the signs, and then changing pitchers and all that. That's the piece that grinds the game to a blessed halt.
I mean, the game is not moving fast enough. The pitch-to-pitch game is not moving fast enough.
We have got Wayne and Grafton with the Tuukka Rask thought. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, Tuukka has to grow here. Murray used this analogy yesterday with Kronk. I mean, you can use that with Tuukka. Me Tuukka, me sad. Everybody's picking on me. I mean, you know that he's got issues at home. Hey, man, we all have issues. Believe it or not, guys, I have many issues. But do you think Cassidy is going to massage his undercarriage? I don't think so. Go Bruins and hope for the best. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, thank you. I agree that it does not exactly feel like Cassidy is, you know, overwhelmed with sympathy for Rask. Let's just put it that way. Cassidy feels very matter-of-fact, borderline cold and icy on the whole thing, which is he's back. We're glad to have him back. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he straightened out what he needed to straighten out, and now we'll see what happens. So I think this was like a borderline excused absence. Like, they did it, but they did him no favors. In other words, they could have called it an ankle or a back or we talked about this yesterday. They could have hit it with a nonsense injury. They didn't. They let it go public when they didn't. They really didn't have to let it go public. They really didn't. And my guess is that Rask's problem may have been kind of like self-inflicted or something, you know, like not, he wasn't a helpless victim. Because otherwise, I think they would have shown more sympathy. Otherwise, they sort of let it be known. And Cassidy's pretty cool on his return. And so this is just another piece to the Tuukka Rask story, which has been, for the last 2+ years, disappointing. And this year it was a debacle. He just sucked. And now he's got this thing on top of it. So what is, you know, what is this going to wake Tuukka up? That was my point earlier. I just, you know, maybe this is a wake-up call for the guy. And this can be zap him out of it and wake him up, and he get back to being a player that he's capable of being.
If this were a one-time thing, they'd brush it off, no problem. Like, they're more concerned with the pattern that this guy's been unreliable to them now for 3 years, or wherever you want to draw the line. And I hate to sound like someone's father scolding them, pointing a finger at them, but it's like you half wonder. You look at this guy and you say, well, you're not doing well on the ice, and it doesn't sound like you're doing great at home either. So where are you succeeding? Like, someone needs to sit him down and say, listen, you're 33 years old. Time to grow up, pal.
And the team clearly thought there was an off-ice component to his struggles when Cassidy says we asked him what he was doing in the offseason to prepare for the year. And that's one thing we can affect, so we're going to ask him to address that. So they had questions, you know, even before this thing.
Look, I hope he plays well. I don't want the guy to fail.
Scott and Lynn on the Patriots. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys. Just my whole thing with Gordon isn't overutilizing him. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Brady's starting to realize that Gronk's really probably not going to be doing much this year, if not even coming back next year. And I think when you really think about it at the end of the day here, what do we really have for a red zone target to really make it deep on here, you know?
Okay, so I can see Brady throwing it up to him in the red zone. I'm talking about He's chucking
getting
it up
there.
He's chucking it up to on third and four in the middle of the field. That's not fine. You want to throw him into the back pylon. He can go make that play. No, there's nothing right about these Josh Gordon targets. Nothing. That they're not working in a more of a possession-type receiver like Dorsett. They're not trying to feature White there a little bit more or Edelman a little bit more or anyone sort of at the stakes where that's Tom Brady's bread and butter. Just these chuck and ducks to Josh Gordon, I can't tell you how much I hate him.
I want to go back and look, but my recollection is on that play, Brady decided he was going with Gordon before the snap. Like, I don't think there was any progression there.
Here's Murray's update, then we finish up with one more segment of your wonderful telephone calls.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hogan getting one? Is that the way you guys want things or is it just how it happens?
Yeah, talked about this ad nauseum, Greg. Nothing's changed. We don't design passes to go to one guy unless it's a screen pass.
Do you think Tom was effective planning?
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. Go ask my quarterback why he's forcing balls to Josh. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. I wanted both him and Gronk gone. But now I'm stuck with them, and we've got a palace queue.
A mutiny, a queue, a patriot, a coup.
I don't know. Why don't you go ask Tom? Not really playing great. And the tight end acts like he just doesn't really care. Maybe we'd be better if we could use footballs with less air. Go ask Tom why he now sucks and blows. It's getting hard to ignore. And his balls are floating in a most peculiar way. I miss my handsome Jimmy J every day. He should be here, sitting on my warm lap, and not with some porno girl. This team is a pile of poo, and there's nothing I can do.
I never know how long to make these things.
You go on forever.
Yeah, I just try to err on the side of shortness, just for brevity's sake, you know?
Tony, Murray's better live in concert.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Seriously.
That whole last minute was live, folks. That was just vamping. Tremendous.
Murray, unplugged.
Yeah, coming in the final word, Jim Rome sang Sunshine Day. If you missed that at 4, you'll hear that in the final word. Okay, and again, Paul Perillo came in and says, we're making too much of those comments, to which I say, posh. Downplay those comments on your own time, Paul. You're on our time now. And there was something underlying that. He very rarely says, go ask the individual player.
Poor Paul Perillo.
I know.
Every week he comes in here, then he gets in his car, his phone rings, he gets yelled at.
It's like, why don't you tell those guys, you know? And that is the best, getting those guys in trouble.
Poor guy.
Oh, I used to love it. Dickerson was the best. Oh, poor Dickerson. Lucky. Yeah, he's so green. Just, oh, such a suck up. You got to be, right? Be a sideline reporter. Like, no shame in that. But oh, you just get yelled at all the time. Why don't you tell Felger that he doesn't know? You're there to tell Felger that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so he would just get reamed for things I said. Brilliant.
Oh, no. I understand that quite well.
As do I.
Yeah.
That was most of my weekend in Nashville, actually.
Yeah, Matt. How come you don't tell Felger? Because I don't agree with you. That's why. If you disagree with him, that's your problem.
Thank God for Dickerson, because I have this.
Right now, let's get it to downtown Boston, where Michael Felger is standing by as the parade is about to begin. Felgie?
How you doing, Greg?
I'm well. How are you?
Hanging in there?
Oh, yeah. Horrible day. All right, back to your phones. Joe in Bellingham. Hi, Joe on the Celts.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to say that I think the Celtics need to go to a more traditional style, like back in 08, where they play 1-5 instead of jumping all around. I mean, they had three players back then, and you're saying they got three players now. I mean, they did it back then. Why can't they do it now?
Do you understand totally what he's saying?
Yeah, I think he's talking about traditional lineup, point guard, center, power forward, etc. And the reason I tell you they played that way then is because they had one of the best centers in the game.
No one plays that way anymore.
No. So it's different. And even then, Garnett,
I mean, unless you're talking, you know, Minnesota, New Orleans, there's two or three centers in the league. So those teams.
Correct. And they had a guy who was truly elite at both ends of the floor. So Garnett wasn't a high scorer, but he was a terrific offensive player, especially for a big man. And the reason they don't do that now is because it's hard to get, and so they built the team a different way.
Well, but the whole league is a bunch
of
big guys.
Yeah, sure. They're shooting too many threes, though, even for them, even in this era. Last year, I looked it up. Last year, I think they were 10th or something in 3 points attempted. This year, they're third already, and the attempts have gone up by about 25%. So the ratio's getting out of whack. And I think it's apparent by you watch them play. There are times that they could easily lay in a rebound. They kick it out, and they end up missing another three.
Ask the nerds. I've told you this, Maz. The nerds will tell you the kick-out three is the most efficient play in basketball.
Okay, but again, what I will tell you is there is a breaking point. There's a breaking point where you sort of say, all right, now you've gone too far. And I think they've gone too far.
We've got Carney in the car. Yes, Carney.
I would just like to say Hayward coming off the bench is genius. It's common basketball. He's coming off a gruesome injury. Offense is all we really should use him for. He's not going to play defense. We should have never paid Marcus Smart because now he doesn't try. He's like Rondo. He only tries
on nationally televised
games.
Oh, come on.
And as far as the Patriots go, you guys are reaching. They're 7-3. There's nothing the matter in Foxborough. They still have one game to play against Pittsburgh for all the marbles. I'll take my chances against Andy Reid with a rookie quarterback. Goodbye.
Okay, babe. Then you can call us that day. The thing about Hayward off the bench, yes, 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 and yes. Agreed, Hayward off the bench. Why aren't they doing it?
Good question. My guess is, look, Hayward has now come out and said he'll do it.
Right, and I think that's the most encouraging thing yet. The
door is ajar, green light.
So Stevens is resisting. And my only explanation for that is Stevens wants to get them through this wall of all of them being on the floor at the same time so that, you know, they get it out of the way and then the year goes on. Now, and there might be some validity to that. But you know what? I think they're better off having Hayward on the bench.
Bill in Maine has a Celtics thought for us. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hello, William.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
Okay, we're good. What do you got for us today, Bill?
Okay, I got a couple of comments on the Celtics. Gordon Hayward, when he came in, wasn't nearly the player he was at Utah. Still isn't. I think it might be January before he gets to that level. He's an elite athlete when he's at his best. That's number one. He's way better suited to come off the bench. He was kind of given a position he hadn't earned. And then secondly, I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of people don't point this out. Jaylen Brown may be the worst finisher in all of basketball. He is 21 out of 50 layups this year. He's a duck and then chuck player. Instead of making contact, regaining his balance, and then laying it in, he ducks, turns his back, and just flings it up. And then he doesn't get called for the foul because the referees are not going to bail him out.
Okay, so Bill, I don't know if he's the worst finisher in the league, but you raise a decent point. Jaylen Brown is someone. He should be working on his defense, his rebounding, become that kind of player, and then the scoring comes. If he wants to be Kawhi Leonard, that's how Kawhi Leonard did it. He started on the other end and then developed his offensive game. But again, this kid thinks he's freaking Dr. J or something. He's got delusions of grandeur. He's already got five rings in his pocket. Even though he can't shoot 35% from the floor. He's already got himself winning five championships. So this kid needs an attitude adjustment.
I mean, particularly on this kind of roster.
Play defense, run the floor, grab some rebounds, and worry about your offense later.
Right. And when you're open for a spot up three and the ball comes to you, then you shoot it. Right. When the situation calls for it, you're not going to be the first option on offense with Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and hell, I would even say if Al Horford pulls his man away from the basket and he's out top there where he nails that three every time, then I'm taking that over anything Brown gives me.
Gary in Maine, do you agree with that previous caller that all's fine with the Patriots? No issues here. We'll see you in January and then they'll beat Andy Reid. Do you feel that way?
I disagree. I think that there's definitely something wrong with him at this point. I can't figure out why Brady's not getting the passes into the receivers if they're not getting open or not quick enough. But I was wondering if you guys could tell me what you think the rest of the season looks like record-wise. And if they don't make the first or second seed, do you see them making the AFC championship game this year? I'm going to get off. Thanks.
Okay. You know what? I'd like to do this tomorrow because we haven't really done it. Just look at the standings, the schedules, the tiebreakers, and see where we stand. You know, we have 2 weeks to do it, but you know, we'll do it tomorrow. Can they? Let's rephrase it. Can they win the championship from the 3 or 4 seed? I don't think so. I don't think they'll win it from the 1 or the 2 seed this year if they get there. I don't think they're that kind of team this year. I think they're a deep playoff team, but not a championship team. So I don't think they're going to win it no matter where they finish. But if they're on the road, I think the chances are pretty grim. They just know this. They've never done it from that spot before with Tom Brady. All their Super Bowl appearances, all their Super Bowl wins are coming from the bye. They're coming from the bye. They've never won from Wild Card Weekend. They've only been in Wild Card Weekend, I think, 3 times, if memory serves. Only 3 times they've even had to go to the Wild Card game. But they haven't made the Super Bowl in any of those 3 years. So they're really not that kind of lightning in a bottle, get hot in January kind of team. They're a team that puts up that record during the regular season, gets home days and buys and that sort of stuff, and goes to the Super Bowl. That's how they've done it in the past. The final word comes your way right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Remember, the off-air show coming up in 9 minutes, 6:05 on Facebook Live and Twitch. But Facebook Live for sure. Myself, Murray, Maz answering your questions on the off-air show, 6:05. Join us for that.
All right. Well, a lot of Red Sox fans seemingly very upset that Alex Cora was not named the American League Manager of the Year. So we took some of those bitchy phone calls today, and Maz had to deal with the talk of payroll, and that shouldn't matter, and blah, 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 blah. Here's Maz.
I just think that the A's thing gets overrated. The whole A's thing has been overrated.
Sure. I was generally speaking, they've never won it.
I mean, right? And then they make the movie about the guy, about all his brilliant moves against the payroll and everything, and never once mentioned starting pitching that the system handed. Like, all the whole thing has been misportrayed.
See, I think that's there's a love affair with Bean
right,
for some reason.
And I think the manager benefits from it.
So, and he might. But again, I think the payroll's got way more to do with it. If someone else were the general manager of the A's and they won 97 games with their payroll, the manager would still be up for manager of the year.
Probably.
Just like Kevin Cash was in Tampa. So those two, to me, were obvious candidates out of the gate based on how much the team overachieved.
You know who got two?
I'm sorry, Red Sox fans are pissed that their team has $240 million to spend. Boo-hoo-hoo. If what you have to sacrifice is the Manager of the Year award to have a $250 million payroll, then swallow the Manager of the Year award and stuff it. Good God. Like, you're going to bitch about that? You won the World Series because you had a $240 million payroll in part. Who gives a rat's ass about the Manager of the Year? So cry about it all you want. The other guys were going to win it. They were better candidates.
Yeah, you want to cry?
I was getting a little hot under the collar with that, man.
Yeah, you know, it just irritated the crap out of me. Speaking of which, by the way, Alex Cora got a one-year extension today. The Red Sox just announced it.
Very good.
And finally, what with the appearance by Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly, it was a sunshine day, which means the song was sung, and it was a request for it to be sung by Jim Rome. All right, let's do it. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I'm amped and pumped. I just can't stay inside the penthouse all day. I gotta get out to Sunset Boulevard and get me some of those rays.
Brady, it's
everybody's
lazy.
Smiling. Sunshine day.
I'm Jim Rome.
Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Hey, Polly Paul.
Everybody seems so happy today.
Have another donut.
It's sunshine day. What's up, Paul Perillo? Yesterday, Greg Bedard, the big boy, puts you on blast, calls you the biggest Patriot tool bag, vicious smackdown. Seems like we have a beat guy border war. You want to launch a salvo? You want to launch a salvo to counterattack the smack talk, Paul?
What did all 22 say?
He said that you're the biggest Patriots tool bag.
Put me on blast.
Vicious smackdown puts you on blast. What's up? I'm Jim Rome.
Yeah, once again, excellent.
Well done, Murray.
Excellent. After 9 years, you think we'd run out of ideas? No. Thank God for Murray.
Yeah, no, we needed Murray.
Thank you. Thank God for people on Twitter. Give me suggestions. When I came in here today, I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to
Murray's
say.
Like a breath of fresh air. He really is.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.